driver back here needs a little help this morning, so moving this thing around. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ prayed for the apostles, for the church, for the fathers, and for us. The Sunday of the Holy Fathers of Nicaea falls between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost. We celebrated Ascension, the feast of the Ascension of Christ into heaven, last Wednesday evening. And Pentecost is next week. But on this day, the church commemorates the fathers who met at the first ecumenical council in AD 325 in Nicaea. And it was at this council that the heresy of Arianism was condemned and the basis of the Nicene Creed was ratified. Arius held that the Son was created by God. And there was a time when the Son of God did not exist. Obvious heresy. And the Council of Nicaea holds a very special place in the history of Christian doctrine, for in affirming the divinity of Christ, it laid the foundation for all of the subsequent definitions. It's the basis for our faith. The great temptation of modern theology since the 1500s, and there is always some through there throughout the church before then, but has been that if not a complete return to Arianism, at least a sliding towards some humanist conception of the person of Jesus Christ, who is seen as more or less a divine creature of some sort rather than God himself. He was a good man. You hear that sometimes. The Nicene Creed, in proclaiming that our Lord is truly God, equal to the Father, safeguards the integral message of love and of the divine gift that God has given to us. God has so loved the world that he gave himself to us and became man in the person of the unique Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a gift! What a great gift for all of mankind to participate in, to live in, if they choose and so desire to. To change a single iota of the Nicene Creed is to diminish the grandeur and generosity of God's gift. It is to alter the essence of Orthodox Christianity radically. When we say the Nicene Creed every liturgy. When you say it today, think on the words. This isn't here, but think on what you say and what you pray when you're here. My mind wanders. It strays. Who knows where it just wanders. If yours doesn't, I want to talk to you afterwards because I need a little help. But think on what we say and what we do and who we are here as we pray for all these different things that we need in our lives and for who God is and how much he loves us. We live in a world and in societies where mankind and womankind, just to make it politically correct, makes up doctrine to to suit their own personal whims, their own personal fantasies, their sins, wrong doctrine, and heresy. They just make stuff up. The Apostle Paul warns us in our reading from Acts this morning about deceivers. Verses 29 and 30 from chapter 20. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse, misleading things to draw away the disciples after themselves. The commemoration of the fathers of Nicaea this Sunday does not mean that the church proclaims or honors the personal sanctity of each one of the bishops who took part, although they were holy and godly men. Rather, the church pays homage today to that collective witness. That collective witness of 318. Isn't it hard just to get two or three people to agree on something? Just a couple of, Just trying to get two or three people sometimes to come together and agree on something stuff. But 318 came together to lay the foundation for our faith. Why? Because God was there. And God the Holy Spirit led those men. Rather, the church pays homage to the collective witness of the assembly and bore witness to the Christian truth. And that the church as a whole bears witness to the truth of the whole body of Orthodox theology and worship that's expressed in the scriptures, in the councils, and in the church. And the church itself bears witness through the Holy Spirit. So all that coming together gives us that foundation of our faith and our love in God the Holy Trinity. Again, the epistle read at the liturgy today alludes to the duties of pastoral care, especially the duty of combating doctrinal deviations. Verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. God has set up a way through the church, through his apostles, through the bishops, and through each church that has a pastor. The pastor is called to oversee, to protect the flock that are in his care from heresy and from being led astray. Father John does this, and whoever follows him, whoever succeeds him, will do the same thing. And all the priests that are called, and with the help and the aid of the bishops and the leading of the Holy Spirit, they protect us, give us guidance, so that we know what's right and true and that which is wrong and false. In our gospel reading, this Christ, the Good Shepherd, prays that we may know eternal life in the Father, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's our true life. That's our hope that we have on this earth. Everything else is depression, misery, and death. Christ prays for unity in the church. And may we all strive for that unity. That's something we need to do to make sure our church, just our little church here, is united and unified, as well as the rest of the surrounding church throughout the world, to pray for that unity, that it might happen. A little further on in chapter 7, it's not in our reading today, but because I'm up here, I can read it. There's Christ's prayer for the church in verse 20 through 23. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That's us. We believe through the word of those who have gone before us and through the fathers, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. So Christ calls us to love him, to love each other, and to be one in that love. Today, this liturgy, this Thanksgiving, this Eucharist is our oneness with Christ. It is our union with Christ. And it is our unity and oneness with those holy fathers of the First Ecumenical Council of Nicaea, and our unity and oneness with the truth of the gospel. May God grant us the strength and the steadfastness to stand with him, to stand with the scriptures, to stand with the holy fathers, the teachings of the church, against all heresy, against all evil, and against the savage wolves who would try to deceive and devour us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.